tonight. Celebrate the Lord as I make welcome Apostle Mike Oroko.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you expectant tonight? Are you sure you came to receive something? You are sure it's not gathering as usual? It's an honor to be here this evening to share fellowship with you in UNN. I trust that the procession that the Lord is going to begin tonight would be a river that many of you that have been expectant of a revival will be carried along. As I stepped into the borders of your campus, I began to interact with prophetic energy. And the spirit of prophecy was hovering around the campus. And I realized that God is out on a recruitment campaign. There are many of you that have already been earmarked as hunters that the Lord will use in the last day army. This is a Kairos moment. It's a strategic season in the spirit. And for those of you who are discerning, you will realize that new sets of instructions are already coming in your direction. It's because of what God is out to do. It's not a season to play around. It's a season to take responsibility for destiny. And so this evening, I've only come as a herald to stir up the waters, so that operation of the spirit that is already ongoing in your heart will receive momentum and power to bring you to that point where the embers and the whispers from Zion will become discernible in your soul structure. Lift your hands toward heaven and worship the Lord now. The hour has come. The time has come. The Bible said Elijah waited. When the prophets of Baal were carrying on their storms, he waited until the time of the evening oblation. When there was no more voice, he said he called them and said, "Come close to me." And as they drew close to him, he said he picked up 12 stones, consistent with the 12 tribes of Israel. And he began to build the altar. The number 12 is the number of government. Because God was about to bring upon the landscape a new order of spiritual operation. The hour has come. Whisper to the Lord now and give expression to your expectation. If you have an expectation tonight, give it expression. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory. We ask, oh God, that there be a fresh visitation upon your people. That which you promised the fathers. That which the fathers prophesied. The covenants they entered into. The sacrifices of alignment that were put on ground to orchestrate a move of your spirit. The stirrings that have gone forth in the atmosphere, the alterations in the spiritual climate, so that sons of order can walk into the womb of the spirit. Father, tonight we align our spirit. If you are sick in your body, just put your hands there. If you are sick in your body, just put your hands there. I want to take distraction away from the room so that we can go and do deeper things, business with the soul. Is there anybody sick here? Just wave at me. Let me be sure we have sick people, so it doesn't become a distraction. You are sick? Something, you have pains, something connected to your body system and it's not functioning properly. Just place your hands. If it's an organ infection, a blood infection, just put your hand on your chest, no problem. Let's deal with sickness and forget about it so that we can do business that borders on our soul. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just play that song. Let the healing angels minister to you in the next 2 minutes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As you get sucked into that song, the healing power of God will touch you. As you get sucked, as you get sucked. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are all healed in the name of Jesus. Just check your bodies. Check. Don't go religious with me now. Check your bodies. You had pain and the pain is gone. Just wave at me quickly. Let me see you. Those of you who had infections, you had pain, you have sickness or something. If it's something you can verify, just check. Check your bodies. The next 1 minute. Check very quickly. You have noticed a change, wave your hand at me. You have noticed a change already. Any other person, you've noticed a change, wave your hand at me quickly. You've noticed a change. The healing power of God is already ministering to people. We need to put that aside so that it's not a distraction. While the message go on, you will discover, most of you, the process is already on. By the time we end the service, you discover you are permanently healed. Because I may not have time to deal with this of sickness tonight. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to do a teaching tonight. By tomorrow, I'll have the liberty to do impartation. But for tonight, I'm burdened to do a teaching. I'm going to be doing divination of terms this evening. Tomorrow, I'm going to be doing another brief teaching on the precursors of alignment. Then we'll do the impartation. But tonight, I'm going to do a divination of terms on what spiritual alignment is about. It's possible for us to be carried in the waves of the move of God, but we are not established in truth. It's possible for us to be carried away by the euphoria and the atmosphere of our gathering, and then we lose touch with the true essence and meaning of the gathering. It's possible for us to be sucked into the activities that characterize the move of God, but the life of the move itself is not planted in our spirits. And so tonight, I want to do a teaching to bring us into understanding of what the essence of alignment really is about. Because many people are using very big words, because It seems as though the move of God that is coming to us at this time is to be activated by utterance. And on the strength of what God is doing, many people have reduced the spiritual essence of what's happening to talk, to lingo, and to big, verbose words. But what God is doing is bigger than language. It's a move of His Spirit. And if you don't even understand why God is activating what He's doing by the way of utterance, you would not even know what and why utterance is a necessity. Utterance is not English language. It's not oratory. It's not dexterity in speech. It is a spirit-energized communication that connects the heart of the Father to the heart of His people, so that the burden in the heart of the Father can be transferred to the listeners. So when utterance is in full scale, what happens is that the people are quickened. A fresh hunger is activated in their heart to begin a journey, the pursuit of God, in order to realize the full scope of their ordination. Then their life will have meaning. But if we reduce what is happening to talk and mastery of the nature of teachings that is flying around, we will become babes the more we think we are going in the womb. That's why Paul came and he diagnosed the condition of the churches in Corinth. And he said they were babes and they were carnal people. Why was that so? They listened to Paul, they listened to Apollos, so they could talk like Paul. They could talk like Apollos. They knew the set of teachings, but they had no contact with essence. And when you find such deficiencies in the body, it simply means that alignment is not an integral part of that which the Lord is doing. Because alignment is that which brings us into the experience of the mind of the Father. If you have not come into the experience of what God is doing, you may be juggling around in cliches and exciting your emotions. But in the day where champions are numbered, you would realize that you are not counted. In the day of trouble and affliction, you will realize that your strength is small, because you never traveled into the womb of the Spirit. And that is why I want to show us this evening, very quickly, what alignment, spiritual alignment, is about. Hallelujah. There is a place of understanding of what God is doing, and there is a place of transformation to become that which God is doing. There are two different things. You may come to a point where intellectually, cognitively, you have an understanding of what it's about, what the move of God is about, what God wants to do it's about. And then there is another place where you have become the move of God. The goal of God is to make you the move that is coming on the earth, so that your life becomes the extension of His reality. It begins with understanding what God wants to do, but it doesn't end there. It becomes relevant when the people that have caught the light of what God wants to do become that which God wants to do. At that point, then the work of alignment is complete in their lives. Jesus made a statement, a very profound statement, in John chapter 9 verse 5. He said, so long as I am in the world, He said, I am the light of the world. It's possible for you to look at that scripture and then you also go in faith and begin to declare that you are the light of the world. And there is nothing wrong with it, because one of the laws of faith is the law of speaking. The speaking law of faith is a very integral part of the realization of possibilities that are locked up in faith. But you need to understand that before Jesus made the statement that He was the light of the world, He went through a definite protocol to become a light. The Bible said He was led into the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4 verse 1 to be tempted of the devil. It was when Jesus passed the test of alignment that He returned as the light of the world. So Jesus was not just making a quote because it was intelligent to make a quote. Jesus was making a declaration from the essence of His reality. He was the Word of God. He was the creator of all things. He was co-equal with the Father, but He never called Himself the light until He satisfied the demands of alignment. When He came out of the wilderness, the Bible said He returned in the power of the Spirit. At that time, Jesus had the right to declare Himself as a light. So every spiritual reality will be alien to you until you satisfy the requisite alignment requirement in order to manifest the dimensions of that reality. There are many Christians making declarations today of what they are not. They are thinking, saying it, they will become. Saying it does not make you until you behold him as he is. And for you to come to the center and the womb of the Spirit where you can look at him as he is, you must come under the government of the Holy Spirit. That's where many believers have lost out. They don't submit to the demand of alignment, but they declare the possibilities of faith. That's why we discover when we have crisis that we are deceived. We realize all of a sudden when there is calamity in our lives that we are deceived. You hear people saying they can do all things until crisis comes. That's when they realize that they were quoting scriptures that are not realities in their spirit. You hear people say they are full of the anointing and the power of God until their neighbor, their nephew, their brothers, their sisters, or their mothers is sick. That's when you see believers running around looking for healing lines to join, because they realize that the declaration they were making all the while was a lie. Am I talking down on faith proclamation? No. But I'm telling you that apart from faith proclamation, there is a requisite alignment that every believer must join himself into in order to enter into the realities of the things that are spoken. Jesus, the Bible said, is the author and the finisher of our faith. So everything Jesus did was a gangway that he revealed to humankind, that in order to become that which he is, then he must go in this path. Paul was the one that declared that we are the righteousness of God. But when Paul spoke to his disciple in 1 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 17, he told him, exercise yourself unto righteousness. Exercise yourself. It's no doubt that you are the righteousness of God. But in order for the economy of righteousness to become a reality in your soul and in your body, there is something you need to do. The word exercise there is the word alignment. Christianity is not talking. If it is reduced to talking, then we become puppets in the hands of principalities. If it's reduced to talking, then we can be manipulated. A spirit that does not have law over you, you can never see his reality. You may talk about him, but you will not walk in his reality. That is the plague of many believers. Alignment is the heaviest molecule in the doctrine of righteousness. When we talk alignment, we are talking about the economy of holiness. We are talking about the full manifestation of the essence of God. And you need to understand that holiness is the business of the throne room. Everything you have been declaring, is it an experience? If it's not an experience, then alignment is lacking. The issue is not because the promise is not meant for you. The issue is, have you committed yourself to the requirement to walk in his reality? Jesus, the Bible said in John chapter 1 verse 1, that in the beginning was the Word. It said the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was with God in the beginning. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He said in him was life. The life was the light of men. When did Jesus become the light? After he fulfilled the demands of alignment. The promises will be there, but the experience is predicated upon alignment. Never come to a point where you psych yourself as a believer. You will set yourself up for destruction in the day of battle. What is alignment? The first thing you need to know is that alignment is the journey out of the womb of mortality to walk in immortality. Alignment is the ability of a mortal vessel to come to a point where he can host immortal realities and give expression to them. Alignment is not talk. Alignment is manifestation of reality. You are not aligned until spiritual possibilities begin to find expression in you. You can be a leader. You can be an apostle. It doesn't count. You can be a prophet. It counts for nothing. You may know the laws and the doctrine. vision of righteousness, but you are not aligned to the reality of righteousness until your life becomes an effulgence of the realities of righteousness. Alignment is the point where a mortal vessel begins to live like an immortal. Alignment is when corruption begins to host the possibilities of perfection and give expression to them. Alignment is when a man becomes a god. When people look at you and all they can see is Jesus, then you have entered into the womb of alignment. It's not a talk, it's a life. How do you come to that point where you can host and give expression to reality? These realities are there. They were promised you. For 1 minute. Don't be lost. Stay with me. Listen. Let me give you a scripture to substantiate the points I'm making. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Look at what the Bible said. It said, "Have you not heard? Has it not been said unto you that the everlasting God fainted not, neither is he weary?" What is the Bible saying? It means the ability to continually dispense energy and not to faint is only possible in the divine. The ability to walk and not faint is only obtainable in the divine. Only God sustains the capacity to walk and not to faint. But in verse 31 of that scripture, it says, "You shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and you shall not faint." What is it telling you? It means there is a possibility for humankind to come to a point where he can do the things that the divine himself can do. That is alignment. If you come to that point where your life becomes, "They shall run and they shall not be weary." What has happened to that people? Tell your neighbor, say, "It's alignment." If you find yourself walking, you may know, because he said, "Have you not heard?" That means it's possible to hear. Has it not been said to you? It's possible to know about it. But have you come to the point experientially? You are walking, you are not weary, you are running, you are not fainting. That's when alignment is achieved. There are many young people talking big things. Especially this media age now, where everybody has a platform to talk. But when you come down and you step down into our lives, you see how pathetic many people are, because they talk what they don't experience. He said there is something you must pay attention to. He said you must wait on the Lord. That's the sacrifice. The difference between mortality and immortality is a place in the spirit. There's a place in the spirit where a mortal vessel travels to, and because he stays there, when he comes out, his mortality is swallowed. Did you read about Moses? He said he stayed in Horeb, in the mountain of God, for 40 days. And he said when he returned, he wished not that his face shone like the sun. So it's not something that you carry in your head. It's a reality that even if you are not aware of, so long as you have traveled to that place, everybody that looks at you is God they touch. Because you have entered a place where you journey past the gate of mortality and you are interacting with immortal entities. Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you? In your own case, you may have heard. In your case, it may have been told to you. But are you running and fainting? Are you walking and you are weary? It means you have not known alignment. The difference between mortality and immortality is a place. It's a day that waits. There are people that journey out of all of the proclivities of flesh, and they come to that place where the Holy Ghost wants them to stay. That's why for Jesus, the Bible said that spirit drove him into the wilderness. There was a place Jesus needed to stay. And he stayed there until he apprehended the power of the spirit. So when he came back, he didn't talk grammar. He went straight into the synagogue. And he said, he began to talk like an immortal. Before that time, he was known as a carpenter. All he knew to do was the skill of carpentry. You may be here talking physics, medicine, microbiology. That's because your reality is still factored into secular intelligence. You have not stayed in the spirit enough. When Jesus returned, the Bible said he went into the synagogue as his custom was, and he carried the book to read. And suddenly Jesus was reading scriptures. He was not reading it as if he was reading to people. He was reading it as a manifesto. What has happened? A mortal man has become an immortal. A mortal man has then turned a place. And everything that constitutes his frailty has been swallowed up. So the man shows up. He said, I come to preach the gospel. And how will he preach the gospel? He said, to give sight to the blind. Who gives sight to the blind? Are you all right? Do men give sight to the blind? He came to unstop deaf ears, to heal the brokenhearted. What has happened? He went to a place. He went to a location that the Holy Ghost carried him to. You know, Jesus said, I have many things to tell you, but you can't receive it now. There are things that if you hear, your mortality cannot allow you to bear it. He says, so how be it? In John chapter 16, verse 13, he said, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you to a place. He said, it's the place of all realities. Have you found that place? It is the journey of alignment. If all we have is talk, we are jokers. Because the princes, when they come, they don't care what you know. They are only interested in what you can manifest. They came to Jesus. He said, if you are the Son of God. Their question is, if. What can you manifest? If you say you are a believer, can you live without sin? If you say you are a believer, can you live without fear? If you say you are a believer, can you walk like the God that you profess? That's the question that the devil brings our way. And he doesn't bring it in articulate speech. He brings it to you as malaria. He brings it to you as fornication. He brings it to you as lying. He brings it to you as fear. The devil is checking whether you are still mortal or you are immortal. And the answer you give him is a statement of the location where you are standing in the spirit. Jesus said, the prince of this world, he cometh to me, he findeth nothing. The devil will come and check. He will not check what you are saying. He will check through your life. You say you are a believer. Here is everybody fornicating. What are you doing about it? Here is everybody sick. What is your experience? The reason we live like mortal men is because we have not committed ourselves to pay the sacrifice of alignment. Alignment is a journey from mortality to immortality. He said, have you not heard? Has it not been said to you that the everlasting God fainted not, neither is he weary? Those are realities that are only manifest in God. Only God sustains the capacity of not being depleted. That's why his name is called the El Shaddai. The word El Shaddai means the multi-breasted one. He's the one that suffices everyone, and his self is not depleted in essence. Have you heard about the El Shaddai? And then the El Shaddai himself made a statement. He said, they that wait upon me, a point come when they become like unto the El Shaddai. He said, they shall run, they shall not be weary. They shall walk, they shall not fail. What has happened? Mortality has been swallowed up. It's called the requisite sacrifice of alignment. You know, we think Christianity is about talking. So we gather ourselves and we impress ourselves. Meanwhile, the man, the world doesn't care what you do. He doesn't even notice you are talking. So you talk among Christians and you say things and they are clapping. And you say, ooh. Jesus didn't have time to talk among believers. He went to the market. He went to where the normal men are, and he spoke, and it was packed with power. Because when he came to speak, he spoke as a God. You are speaking as a man, but you want to act like a God. You are deceiving yourself. The only way to come to that point is to wait. That's when you can see him as he is. Because he said, if we see him as he is, what happened? We become like him. So the goal is transformation. Become like unto him. That's when you are a Christian. Christianity is not a title. It's a manifestation of a life. Who are you? We despise alignment. And we come to deceive ourselves in fellowship. No wonder we can't take our word. Tonight I want to keep it calm to challenge your conviction. So that there will be a shift in your paradigm. We have made so much pride and brag so much in titles. Our titles take us nowhere. Jesus didn't bother about titles. It was later they wrote about him saying he's a great shepherd. He said, I am the Son of God. He was enough. Every time a title is added to him, his value is reduced. You will never hear Prophet Jesus or Apostle Jesus. Meanwhile, the apostolic, the prophetic is an effulgence of his reality. He said, who shall declare his generation? So the reason we are apostles is because we are an extension of him. So in his own conviction, an apostle is a manifestation of a dimension, not a title. An apostle is a witness and a proof that a kingdom that is an invisible realm exists in the natural. So when an apostle show up, the burdens of the kingdom should manifest. So what makes you an apostle is not the title, it's your ability to bring the kingdom to bear. When you speak, what happens to people? A man is in the kingdom of darkness, but an apostle talks to him and he steps out of that kingdom and he enters another kingdom. That is an apostle. He has the ability to pull you out of another kingdom to what he represents. So long as you interact with him, you must bow to the government that you serve. That is the definition of the apostolic. But it's for men who have seen life. It's a journey from mortality into immortality. The reason we do what we do is not to gain mastery per se, it's to become. Never master the art of prayer. Never master the art of reading. Become. So that you will be an expression of prayer. And that's when you pray, your prayers will be answered. Somebody say a prayer warrior is not a man that prays so much. It's a man that has answers to prayers. Don't you see that we brag in mundane things? When people gather, they hail somebody because he prayed longer than every other person. Meanwhile, 10 people came with cancer. No one was healed. And the prayer man is walking. He say, win a prayer. And your prayer cannot transform anything. What is the goal of prayer? Prayer is a bridge between immortality and mortality. Prayer is a chamber, a gate, a bridge through which you can download possibilities that are in heaven. Somebody comes to say he knows all the doctrine of the Bible. Meanwhile, he's a puppet. He knows the doctrine of healing. He's sick. He knows the doctrine of righteousness. He's a sinner. Are you not a fool? Loftiness of the mind, little or no transformation in the soul. Alignment is a journey from mortality to immortality. What is alignment? Alignment is fraternity with entities in Zion. A man of alignment is a man of encounters. Did you read about Jesus in the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17 verse 2? He said after 6 days, he took Peter, James and John and he went to the mountain. There he prayed. What happened? First, there was transformation. He said the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment glistered, and then something happened. He said there stood between Moses and Elias. What were they discussing? About the things that will happen in Jerusalem. Because this man has come to a point where he has submitted completely to the will of the Father. So entities in Zion who carried the message for what God wants to do, they came to submit it to him. Elijah came to submit the prophets. Moses came to submit the law, because this man has decided to pay the price for emergence of the kingdom. Because he submitted in alignment, the prophet and the law needed to come and submit their witnesses. Alignment is a place of spiritual fraternity. If you have not come to a place where you mingle with entities from Zion, it means your will is still strong. The day your will crushes for the will of the Father to find expression, you will walk into your room and you see an angel standing. The angels don't appear because they want to impress you. They come with witnesses. They are high commissioners of heaven. Angels don't come to gist with men. They come to carry out kingdom business. And it's only with men who are willing to drop their will for the will of the Father to find expression. Alignment is a place where we fraternize inside. That's when you interact with the spirit of just men made perfect. In 2013, I was serving. I served from 2012 to 2013. And I moved to Warri. And I decided to take a 1 year fast and pray. Those days were days when I go out 2 times in a week. Just to attend service on Sunday and to go for CDS Wednesday. And I was in the room there. I said, Lord, whatever you have me do, I will do it. If you tell me to die now, I will die. Ah, when you talk like that, you have triggered the jealousy of God in your direction. When you talk like that, you have begun to invoke the powers of Zion. And the first thing the Lord did was that a hand came into my room. That was when I began to have the craziest encounters. These are things I cannot substantiate by doctrine. And he carried me and I found myself in the room of Reverend Chris Oyakhilome. And I discovered Reverend Chris Oyakhilome was 17 years old. How is that possible? I had a time travel. I went back to time. I was carried to a time that I was not yet born. Because I said, now whatever you have me do, I will do it. I was not praying for encounter. When you yield yourself to the will of the Father, you have actually triggered the protocol of encounter. And then he told me, look at how he lived his life. He said, this is how a man of God should live, so that he can manifest the dimensions of God. And I saw the way the man lived his life. That was when I knew that if I'm at home, my door should be locked. I'm in business. Because I saw that Reverend Chris never opens his door. He was always in door. What was he doing? Crying for nations. I said, is that how this thing works? Ogbe lives with me. My door is always locked. Sometimes he goes out, they ask him, why don't this your brother come out? I saw it in the spirit. And so long as I'm in door, I have authority to guide my soul. And every time I come out, I'm a candidate of fire. I saw it in the life of Pastor Chris. I didn't read it in the book. He showed me how he lived his life as a 17-year-old boy. He showed me 25 things that the man did as a lifestyle. I have not reached a point where I can obey those things. The day I obey those things, I will become a man of wonder. Because I saw it. The first impartation I received from a general was in the spirit. You can, through alignment, enter somewhere where you meet even people who have died. Because their anointing is still in this world. Did you read Songs of Solomon chapter 4 verse 4? He said, in the ears of Zion, there are shields of many mighty warriors. You can, through alignment, enter a place. I saw the man of God in the spirit, and he looked at me. He said, take what I have. And as he touched me, I rode over 50 meters. And I said, thank God, Pastor, please don't impact me. I didn't know whether I was in the spirit or in the body. I began to have crazy encounters because I said, Lord, whatever you have me do, I will do it. It was in that place of alignment that God carried me to a mountain and I met Bishop Oedipo. And then he asked me, say, what do you want? I say, I want, teach me, I want the way of love. And then he said, you have it. People who live around me think I'm crazy. I give like a madman. I don't give what I have to spare. I give the things I value. It's not because I learned it. It was imparted to me by Bishop. When I came out of that encounter, I almost cried. I said, why didn't I ask for faith? You see, when you are in your senses, you are deficient. I say, why did I ask for faith? How can I meet Oedipo and I'm asking for love? It was later that I heard him preach. And he said, men don't know him. He said, faith walketh by love. He said, he's a man of love. That was when I began to hear how Bishop Oedipo will be in church when they started. He will look at the brother. He said, the person looks hungry. He will say, tell that person to meet me after service. And they will empty all his money and say, thank you. He doesn't even know how much it is. Meanwhile, he's not going home with the hope of what to eat. Today, you see him flying in private jet, and then you are talking. I met them in the spirit. I interacted with them in the realm of reality. Before I ever went to them to impart me, I had received impartation in the spirit. Because alignment is a ground of spiritual fraternity. Many will never enter into great things because their will is still strong. When you journey from the gate of mortality to immortality, there are many possibilities that you can't express. Alignment is a journey into mingleness, oneness with God. Oneness. Many people are crazy about encounters. They don't know the things that matter. Crying, they want to see angel. They want to see archangel. They want to see this person. Don't waste your time. Pursue after God. Alignment is a pursuit of God. It's a pursuit of God for who he is. Did you read John chapter 20? From verse 3 to verse 16. They ran to the tomb of Jesus. John and Peter, they came. They saw the linen cloth and they were happy. They ran away. But Mary Magdalene stayed. And people tell you, I was praying and my leg began to hurt. My hand was shaking. What does it mean? What do you mean? God is luring you into the spirit in case you want to know what it is. Did you not read where he said he has given you great and precious promises that by them you may escape the corruption that is in the world through love, having become partakers of the divine nature? Those things are triggers to bring you into his presence. But John and Peter, they saw linear and they left. Mary Magdalene stayed. She stayed. And then she saw two angels. And she was not carried away because she saw angel. How many of us come to preach and say, ah, the last time Angel Gabriel showed up in my room? She stayed there. The angel said, why are you troubled? She said, where have you kept my law? Where have you kept my law? And bishop was God. Not a man that God can commit heavy things to their hands. And suddenly Jesus showed up. She looked at Jesus. She didn't recognize her. She's this day. Because until she meets the Jesus she knows, she's not going anywhere. And Jesus looked at her and said, me. And she said, Rabboni. That was when her hunger was satisfied. Some of us are satisfied too quick. Because the reason we cry for encounter is because we want to tell our friends that we too have seen angels. God is not our priority. Our goal was not to tell the world that she has seen angels. She said, Rabboni. That was when her lust was satisfied. Because alignment is a journey into oneness with God. Jesus prayed in John 17. He said that they might be like us, one with us, as I and thee are one. You want to conquer your world? You want to host the dimensions of God? You want to take over your territory? Oneness is the key. A God you are not one with, you can never mirror his dimension. Deceive yourself. The principalities will watch out and they will fashion a weapon that is meant for you and you alone. You do not hear it say no weapon fashion. It means they take the time to design a weapon that is consistent with you alone. Even if they shoot it from Hades, it will locate you because your appetite will attract it. But when God becomes your only appetite, you become invisible in the realm. Because before they get you, they will find God. That's why Paul said we are hid in Christ. He said the life we have now is the life of the Son of God. He said we are hid in Christ and Christ in God. How does that happen? He said when your affection is in the things from above. If your affection is turned on God only, a point comes when a oneness is so achieved that they can't find you. Everything they want to talk about you, they will talk about God. Did you read about Daniel? He said they looked for an occasion against it. They couldn't find any except in his law, the law between him and his God. So you can't find them. Before you hit such a man, you will first of all conquer God. That's why the Bible says we are more than conquerors. Because before you come to us, you must fight the one that defeated principalities and powers. They are not scriptures to quote, they are experiences of life for men who have journeyed in pursuit of God. What have you done to pursue the Lord? Many of us have terrible appetites and we deceive ourselves so much. We deceive ourselves. We think God is pleased because we are doing things in the kingdom. If you don't first of all love him, you are a waste. It's love for him that is his first priority. He said they came to him. They said, we supped with you. He said, we heard you preach on our streets. We did miracles in your name. He said, away from me, workers of iniquity. Because everything they knew about the Lord was in the flesh. They never knew him in the spirit. Because it takes a price to journey into the spirit. They thought because they saw him in Galilee, they could do what he's doing. That's why Paul said, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. He said, we knew Christ in the flesh, but not anymore. We must all come and pay the price of staying in the presence until his dimensions are revealed to us. And it's the dimension of God you see that you can mirror. We are not called to all do the same thing. It is who you see that you will reveal. His dimension that you see becomes the light that you reveal to your world. That's why I say that light is the true light that lighteth every man cometh into the world. What dimension of light have illuminated you? If you see his love, you will reach your world through his love. If you see his faith, you will reach your world through his faith. If you see his power, you will reach your world through his power. If you see his wisdom, you will reach your world through his wisdom. All of us read the whole Bible. But go and listen to the men of God that are doing exploit. Everything Bishop Oedipo could preach is ending it. Because the God he saw is the God of it. Everything they preach, everything Apostle Aaron preaches ends in kingdom. The God he saw is a government. Who have you seen in the spirit? It means you have not traveled far enough. You have heard what men said and you are psyched. And then because you are the head of fellowship, you want to create a caricature so that people will think you are what you are not. The principalities don't see your action. They see the light you emit in the spirit. So you may deceive men, but you can't deceive spirits because they dwell in the realm of reality. Said those things we have looked upon them. He said, but now our hands have handled. You will journey step by step. A lot of people hear doctrine and they run to preach it. You don't know it. I tell people all the time, it's because English language is limited. That's why we deceive ourselves most of the time. In the Greek, knowledge is called ginosko. You must know it until you become like it. You have intimacy, intercourse with it until you become the full manifestation of it, which is known. So if people are looking for that reality, they need to go to heaven. They see you, they've seen it. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. That's the man that knows Jesus. If you stay with Paul long enough, you will know Jesus. If you look at him, you will see the dimensions of Jesus. That's a man that has known Jesus. That's how realities are known in the spirit. He said, the things we heard, we saw, we looked upon it and we handled the word of life. He said, that's what we have come to commit to you. So for John, the message they preach is not something they read to preach. It's a reality they have. Present our custodians, and they are coming to commit it. So when Paul, John speaks to you, he's committing God into your hand. Do you read what the Bible said in 1 Timothy 2 verse 2? He said, the things that you have received from me, he said, they say, commit to faithful witnesses who shall be able to teach others. So they don't have God in their head. They have his reality in their spirit. And they have the capacity to give you God. So when such a man comes to preach righteousness, sin will be tamed in your life. Because he is committing to you the spirit of righteousness. When such a man comes to teach wisdom, foolishness will be exonerated from you. Because he came to commit to you wisdom as a substance. That's where they stand in the spirit. That's who they are. And that's why they were able to change their world. Is the journey of alignment. You travel from mortality and you begin to experience the dimensions of immortality. You come to a point where you fraternize with realities and entities in glory. That's when true authority can be committed to your hand. And the reason these things are locked in the spirit is so that they cannot lend themselves to men cheaply. Only men that sought after them can have them. How desperate do you sought after God? You pick a message here and there and you say you have become a preacher. You are a joker. But John, the Bible said he was in the wilderness. Luke 1:8, until the day of his showing forth unto Israel. He knew he needed to lay hold on something. This thing is not story we are telling. We are not storytellers. The Bible is not story we